Would you stand as we read together Scripture? We're going to be reading. The Scripture will be on the screen. I will read a portion of the text, and then if you would follow as the screen gives direction. We're reading from Romans chapter 6. Follow along with the screen. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is truly one of the great passages of New Testament theology in all of Scripture. In the passage that we read, the Apostle Paul addresses sin and grace, death and resurrection, atonement, redemption, and baptism. I want to submit to you that baptism is a radical, almost mystical, deeply spiritual moment. It's one's public declaration of a personal decision to follow in the steps of Christ as Savior and Lord. Believer's baptism is a most holy step. In baptism, it's a show of obedience to God, identification with Christ Jesus, and a testimony for all who see. Now, the early church struggled to understand and to comprehend baptism. And I believe that still today we struggle with what is the significance. What is the meaning of baptism? In the Old Testament, we don't really see baptism. We see some water experiences, which looking back, we might say that was baptism-like. But in the Old Testament, the symbol of a believer for a male Jew was circumcision. It marked them as a follower of God. We saw last the baptizer came saying, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin." And then came Jesus, who of course had no sin, but in his humanity walked through those waters in obedience to God, his Father. Now, the New Testament church, after the cross, after the resurrection, after Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, then we began to see that church begin to develop We began to see believers confessing their faith in Jesus Christ, accepting all that atonement, that redemption, and that resurrection. And the New Testament church was born. And as believers confessed their faith, they then followed through this sign of baptism. It was an outward expression of an inward experience. Baptism, an outward physical expression of something that happened here. And so we read that Peter preached and thousands confessed their faith and then baptized. Philip had this Ethiopian riding around and showing and telling about the gospel hope. And the Ethiopian saw water and said, I confess, can I be baptized? And Paul and Silas in jail, with the jailer, the doors come open. They explain the hope. And that jailer confesses his faith, and he's baptized. Baptism, symbolic in nature in that first church. But then the church began to grow and develop. And now these who are not just first generation believers, but now they're children and those who came after. And families begin to say, we want our children. We want our family to experience what we have experienced. And so a symbolic dedication began to happen, and families would bring their children into that church. They would bring their children before that priest or that pastor. They would bring their children, and they would even baptize. It was a rite of passage into the church. It was parents saying, we dedicate, we give this one that God has given to us, we give this one back to God. It was symbolic, but it was a good symbol. As the church developed, some then took that symbolic measure and made it very sacramental. And suddenly that physical baptism took on a different meaning than this symbolic meaning. That's where Baptists kind of come in this. And Baptists began to say, now wait, how we do this is important. And Baptists began to say the mode of baptism, how we do this thing is of utmost importance. And I'm afraid that when we got so hung up on the mode, the how to baptize, that we lost some of the meaning, the beauty, and the significance. Oh, we said it's only symbolic. And it is symbolic. It's only symbolic, but you better do the symbol in the right way or you can't have fun with us. If you don't do the symbol in the right way, then you can't be part of us. And we alienated and we maligned families who didn't do it like we thought they should do it. You know, Baptists haven't always immersed. Over 400 years, Baptists have been around, and we think, well, those baptizers have always immersed, but they didn't. There were some periods in our history when Baptists would dip the water onto the believer, and the pastor was called the Big Dipper or something like that. So, Baptists even sprinkled for a time. Mostly they just dunked them under until you bubbled. That's who we were. What about us today? Not that church, this church, First Baptist Lufkin, maybe hasn't been like this in the past. May not be like this when this pastor is gone. But let me tell you, if you have been sprinkled, dipped, gripped, or dunked, you are welcome to be a part of this church family. If you come from the Nazarene Church or the Lutheran Church or the Pentecostal Church or the Church of Christ, yes, if you come from the Methodist or the Episcopalian or the Catholic, or if you have no church affiliation, you are welcome to be a member of this church. Oh, someone told me, yes, the word's out around town. First Baptist, they accept anybody. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to believe anything. You show up and fill out the card. You don't even have to walk down the aisle. You just show up. They're all about getting folks to come and join. Well, that's just not true. Here's what we believe at First Baptist Church Lufkin to be a part of this church. John wrote in John 1, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Paul wrote in Romans 3, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Listen, First Baptist Church, how do you become a part of this church? By believing, unapologetically believing, having a faith experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. The requirement and the criteria to be a part of First Baptist Church Lufkin is belief, unapologetically belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we do with baptism? Well, I think baptism is a beautiful act, first, of obedience. It's an act of obedience for believers. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus came to John, that baptizer, baptizing differently for the remission of sin. And John, remember, said, oh, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, it is proper for me to do this. And at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God descends upon him. And that voice of God is heard. This is my Son, and I'm pleased with him. I think in baptism, we're being obedient to what Jesus did. I've often said it's the first act of obedience for a believer. To follow through in the ways of God through Christ is a step of obedience, is a step of discipleship. It's that mark of obedience that I want to signal, to symbolize this new life, an outward expression of what's happened within. It is this act of identification. It's a symbolic act of identification. We read Romans chapter 6. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection. Do you not know we were baptized into Christ? We were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised, we too shall be raised. Baptism is not salvific in any way, but it is a beautiful, beautiful symbolic act. Baptism should not be shunned. Baptism should not be minimalized. Baptism should be celebrated by the individual, by the family, and yes, by the church. It is a significant, spiritual, holy moment. Yes, I'm afraid that as Baptists, too long, we have been so hung up on how to that we've missed the beauty and the glory, the significance of being in Christ. My wedding band, for 29 years, I have worn it. I don't wear it at night. I don't wear it when I work in the yard. And it's not just a ring. It is my marriage ring, my wedding ring. It is symbolic of the covenant and commitment I made to Aurelia. And when I'm long gone, don't bury me with this ring on. Save it. It's a beautiful symbol. Give it to my kids. They'll melt it down, but give it to them. It is meaningful to me. And my Baylor ring? My Baylor ring, I wear it with pride every day when we win or when we lose, in the midst of scandal or chaos or whatever. This ring represents more than 124 semester hours. It represents my university that I love. It is significant to me for what it stands for, and that's baptism. Baptism, a beautiful symbol of our unity with Christ, buried with Christ. You'll see it in baptism, raised to walk in a glorious new life. And I think baptism is also, why do we do it? It's a testimony. It's a testimony of one's faith experience. As these are baptized, they're saying boldly, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Baptism is a testimony that sin loses, that death loses, grace wins. Baptism is a testimony that says, I'll never be the same. Victor and Brittany, Madison and Morgan, come up here. They don't know I'm going to do this. They're a little nervous. These four are going to be baptized this morning. Two sisters and a husband and wife. You girls stand here. Victor and Brittany. Victor and Brittany have been through a lot in their marriage, in their life. They have a precious daughter named Adeline. They were both raised in the church, different churches at different times with different experiences. Victor would probably be the first to tell you the last year or so of his life has been difficult at best. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain. And through that pain, when it seemed like nothing would ever make sense and life could never have any meaning, in that pain, he found Jesus Christ. And in that valley, he saw hope and life, eternal life. Brittany, his wife, has said it's a change in him and it's a change in our marriage. And together, we want this symbol. As a together, we know that this is symbolic. We know that water has no saving power, but we need to experience that symbol to be obedient, to walk with God, and to say to others, our life will never be the same. Beautiful picture of what God has done in your life. Now, Morgan and Madison, their parents from day one have loved you even when you were rotten. And your parents took you as children and they baptized you in a church. They committed themselves to raising you, to loving you, to letting you see the glory of the church and the beauty of the church. And through that you would go through a confirmation time. You would have a teacher who would tell you about your faith. And now you've made that your faith. Your parents blessed you and they wanted you to know, but they couldn't do what you did. You said, I want Jesus. Thank you, parents. Thank you, God, in your life, in those waters. It's just Lufkin water. It smells like Lufkin water. But that water will signify this newness, a beautiful symbol. Y'all go get ready, and I'll join you shortly. Clap for these four folks who've made this huge decision. It is a holy moment indeed. I want you to think about your spiritual journey before I join them. Most of us should pause right now and simply thank God for salvation in Christ. That it didn't require a person, a preacher to do it. It required God to give us Christ. Thank God that Jesus went to Calvary's cross for us and that His grace was big enough for us. We should thank God for the Holy Spirit that indwelled us at that moment when we professed our faith, that Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, that speaks to us, that intercedes for us. Yes, we need to thank God for parents. Parents who knew the importance of bringing children to the church, of parents who baptized their children, of parents who stood even on this stage and dedicated their children to God, that they said, we will raise these children. We should thank God for that pastor, that teacher, that friend who began to show us that God wasn't just out there, but God could be in here through Christ. We should thank God today for a church that taught us, that trained us, that loved us, that accepted us. you're here today and you've never accepted that, you would say, I don't understand any of that. I've never had that. Those who believed, received, and became children of God, if you've never, I would love to share with you how you too can become children of God. First Baptist Church Lufkin, a church of believers, a church of followers of Jesus Christ, where diversity is celebrated and unity is expected and grace covers it all. Baptism, it's not salvific. It's not membership driven, but it is the most beautiful, holy, intimate expression of our union with God. Baptism. I challenge you, follow your heart, follow Jesus, and thank God for this beautiful, reverent, almost mystical experience called baptism.